Welcome all to this sixth Sunday after Pentecost. As we prepare to worship together this evening, we invite all into our community and into the covenants that we hold with God, the earth, and with one another. Our opening hymn is 532. Let us pray. God of all relationships, through covenant you call us to proclaim the truth of grace and love. Trust one another so that we may faithfully journey with all disciples, empowering one another to create the holy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in the name of those who come before us. Amen and Asher.
A reading from 2 Samuel. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king of at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around, from the Milo inward, And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. Word of God, word of life.
From Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountains, beautiful in elevation above us. They are the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion to the far north, and the city of the great King. We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple, the world around us. Walk about Zion. Go all around it, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. That God will be our guide forever. Word of God, word of life.
The Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And Jesus could do no deed of power there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Friends, so I want to first say I'm definitely sitting as a transgressive symbol, not because I had four shots of espresso today and like 20 ounces of water max, so keep that in mind. This is a statement I'm making. But when I read all of the text options for today, I pulled out my inner Emmer Kate Texan, and I cried, "Boy, howdy, let me tell you," because there was so much. As a person with precisely one semester of seminary under my belt, my head went straight to my Hebrew Bible class, where we were taught by an Ezekiel scholar and a person specializing in the archaeology of the ancient Near East. So a lot of place and a lot of relationship. In today's text, I felt drawn to the vulnerability that snuck in between the verses about power and mighty cities. I chose the text for today for what lies under their surface. I noticed in 2 Samuel, all of the tribes of Israel came to David and said, "We are your people." The elders knew in their bones that God had sent David. And as God covenanted with God's people time and time again, God's people began to enter into covenant with one another too. The elders enter into trust, relationship, and connection with David. And the people of Israel in Jerusalem entered this web of interconnected interdependence too. And what's striking to me is that the catalyst for all of this is the Davidic covenant. God promises that David's descendants will always occupy the throne in Jerusalem. And so there's trust in the present moment. David was meant to rule, but it's also linked to the past. Abraham and Sarah, manna in the wilderness, a long line of prophecies coming true. God shows up time and time again, and she shows us that she is trustworthy, sticks to her word, and she shows up. I was drawn to the psalm today by the power of place. The psalmist writes, "The joy of the earth." Sounds like Mary Oliver or something. But in our Samuel reading, we enter into place as well. But in the psalm, they ponder their creator in the midst of the beauty of creation itself. Place is powerful. So often here at Holden, I look around and I'm dazed by what is. I often need to take a second, close my eyes, listen to the wind and the creek. And when I open my eyes, I take a deep breath and drink in the wonder. So much is unsteady in our world. But the wind and the water are that way too, and their gentle but consistent flow grounds us. The only constant is change, and wherever our journeys take us, we can always sink into the ground below and become one with the sky above. We can be here now. Back in the ancient Near East, land and territory were signifiers of power. Occupation meant temporary peace. And it makes so much sense that the grand city of David and Mount Zion and the temple were so important. Zion theology, aka a place of central worship, serves a purpose. And we can find the holy, the sacred, everywhere. We are blessed with limitless horizons. All there is beyond us. Buddhist temples in India, monasteries in France, indigenous lands tenderly cared for, Lutheran churches and Catholic cathedrals, chalet living rooms and gymnasium worship spaces. And above all for me, the land itself. May we recognize the holy in the spaces made for it, but also the places made of it. We come now to sermon story time. I have a dear pastor friend who I met up here. I moved in with her and her husband in March of this year. I was growing through the thick of it. And she was in my shoes about 20 years ago, can relate to my situation of being a 20-something seminarian, life crumbling apart around them, holding the edges together with tape and glue and staples and a lot of therapy. And I always would expect her to bring some sort of pastoral peace into my heart. Instead, though, she usually just says something like, "Yeah, you just got to go through it. It sucks and hard, but it forms you." And then I groan, I make this face at her, and then I, like, crumble. And as it is with me and her, it's also this way with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus began his ministry in the desert, fasting, suffering, and confronting Satan. Then he taught, and in such a fashion, the disciples also were sent. They were using the buddy system, but not given much else. Jesus tasked them with teaching, knowing they wouldn't always be comfortable, they wouldn't always be welcomed. But also knowing that connection was inevitable. In going on these travels, they would share with others what was shared with them. The good news of grace and mercy, the good news that empowers us all to know in our own way that the kingdom of heaven is possible and probable right here, if we lean into each other and make it so. As God trusts the angels and prophets, God trusts Jesus. And as Jesus trusted God, he also trusted his apostles, though one would betray him. And on through time, the practice of Christianity was taught in pre-Jesus times, in small groups, and in homes, kept secret from the Hellenistic Roman Empire. And homes became churches, and churches became homes. And the words of scripture and song became familiar and comforting. And now we're still doing it, right here, right now. I have seen what we can become, so I believe it. I have weathered what I couldn't imagine possible, because I had to. And because I believe in some very woo, hippy-dippy, crunchy granola spirit of the universe shit, everything connecting us, you know? So, we gather today as Jesus did, as freedom fighters did, the gays and the disabled folks, as they taught us, and we speak truth, trust one another, and we'll eventually bring this gift out yonder. There are many names for holy sacred connections, but Brian Andreas put it well. The hardest thing to remember is that it doesn't matter one bit what I believe if I forget to treat every life around me as holy. May it be so, make it so. Amen.
Our hymn of the day is 396 for your red hymnal.
We now share in the beloved Unitarian Universalist tradition of sharing of joys and sorrows. All who wish to light a candle in celebration or a candle in holding space for sorrows are welcome to come to the box when the time is called. You may speak your heart's heaviness or lightness aloud or you're free to simply just light a candle and be seated.
So we're going to learn this song. We'll just sing it through twice, and we'll be singing it again a few more times. There is a love holding us. There is a love all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love. There is a love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love.
Now and light a candle, symbolizing the warm glow of your joys and delights. Come forth as you feel called.
There is a love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in your love. There is a love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love.
Come forward and light a flame of hope to hold that which weighs heavy on our hearts.
His love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love. There is a love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love.
We light a final two candles for joys and sorrows unspoken but still heard.
There is a love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love. There is a love holding us. There is a love holding all that we love. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love.
That Which Holds All by Nancy Schaefer. Because she wanted everyone to feel included in her prayer, she said right at the beginning several names for the holy. Spirit, she said, Holy One, Mystery, God. But then thinking these weren't enough ways of addressing that which cannot fully be addressed, she added particularity, saying, Spirit of life, Spirit of love, Ancient Holy One, Mystery we will not ever fully know. Gracious God, and also Spirit of this earth, God of Sarah, Gaia, Thou. And then tongue loosened, she fell to naming superlatives as well. Most creative one, greatest source, closest hope. Even though superlatives for the sacred seemed to her probably redundant. But then she couldn't stop. One who made the stars, she said, although she knew technically a number of those present didn't believe the stars had been made by anyone or thing, but just luckily happened. One who was an entire ocean of compassion, she said, and no one laughed. That which has been present since before the beginning, she said, and the room was silent. Then, although she hadn't imagined it this way, others began to offer names. Peace, one said. One my mother knew, said another. Ancestor, said a third. Wind, rain, breath, said one near the back. Refuge, that which holds all. A child said water. Someone said one yin. Then womb, witness, great kindness, great eagle, eternal stillness. And then there wasn't any need to say the things she thought would be important to say. And everyone sat hushed until someone said, Amen.
We affirm our community and our care for one another by sharing a word or a gesture of peace. Consider your own comfort and boundaries and honor those of your neighbor as we greet each other now in peace. The peace of God be with you all. Let us share a sign of peace with one another.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night he gathered with his friends to remember these same stories. Our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his dearest community, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we participate in that mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the sake of the life of the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. We are bold to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Spirit of new life invites us to this table. Come, eat and be satisfied.
Thank you.
Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our ascending hymn is 551.
God, who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Love one another.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.